May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are, continuing into our Roman journey, as I've called it, which is walking through the passages and the lectionary in the book of Romans. And I got to tell you, I am a big fan of chapter 7. If you've been here over the last few weeks, we've been dealing with some really heavy theological concepts. Justification, sanctification, and then union with Christ in our baptism. And then last week, the big question Paul was wrestling with in chapter 6, who are you going to serve? Slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness? And as you know, as we're walking through all of that to get to where we are today in chapter 7, you know, there's just a part of you that might think Paul might be a guy that just likes to hear himself talk, because some of these really big things he's coming up with. But I love where he goes in chapter 7. He's 46 times. We have 10 verses today, but if we looked at all of chapter 7, 46 times Paul uses first-person language saying, I. And what he's doing is he's going to say, these things that we have been discussing up until this point, I, as he says in another place in one of his other epistles, I am the chief of sinners. And I understand these because I wrestle with them daily. And he's not going to use specific, like, this sin or that sin, but he's just going to talk about the struggle that he has within. He's saying, I understand all of this that I have told you, but let me tell you how I have had to face the difficulties of trying to apply those things on an extremely personal level. I love that he brings it from all those weighty, can be confusing ideals and thoughts, and he goes right to the source. Right to his heart, and that speaks to all of our hearts. And Paul will take these ideas about the old way of life before sin, or within sin before we meet Christ, and then the new life in Christ, and explain the reality of them in his own life. He reveals to us that he is constantly pulled in a battle in two different directions. He shows us that the closer he actually gets into the Lord, the more he presses in, the more he begins to understand that just how much he really does need a Savior. What he's talking about is something he deals with personally, as well as I would wager all of us have to deal with, the battle within. The conflict has moved from his head to his heart, and he knows God. He has met God and been transformed within that identity. But he wants to know and make the things of God happen now. But he's not doing this. And this presents him with tremendous internal struggle. Paul knew that in his head, he knew the identity of Christ and the work he should be doing as Paul. But when he went to live it, the battle was on. The battle within. I see this as the measure of a man of God, measuring his progress against God's standards. And the more I realized how deceptive that sin can be in Paul's writings, that he's saying, my flesh battles against my spirit. And the better I see of him and the less I see of myself, because I realize I have this daily battle of sin. He's been teaching up to this point sound doctrine, but doctrine is no good if you can't live it, is what he's telling us. If you can know the truth, but what good does the truth actually do it if you can't do you, if you can't walk in it? What Paul is telling us, he's driving it home, sin is a constant foe. Sin is no longer his master. He is free from it, justified, but he needs the Lord to walk with him daily, and he needs to walk in his identity with the Lord so that he can have victory over the sin in his life. And you can see as you read those 10 verses, as we had them read, Paul is showing a feeling of great loss, of some sorrow, some regret. If we look at two of those verses that really show that to us, in verse 18, Paul is saying, "Nothing that lives inside of me is good," as he really wrestles with this internal battle. Nothing that lives inside of me is good. And then in verse 21, he states, "When I want to do good, evil is right there." When I have this urge to do what I know I should be doing, what God would want me to do, evil is right there beckoning me. Within the loss that he is showing in those two verses, he describes the conflict in these personal terms, which is a big theme and a big key for the entirety of what we're talking about. Verse 15, speaks to all of us. "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." I have had those moments when I'm looking in the mirror several years after I've been a Christian, and I was saying, you know, the old head clap or slap, "What was I thinking? Why do I mess up like this? Why do I struggle? Why do I do the things, continue to do the things that I hate that I shouldn't be doing?" And you hear Paul here saying, "That is me. I, the chief of sinners. I've been facing these deep struggles of heart and conscience." He's really, in chapter 7, bringing himself to a low spot and realizing these things. But in so doing, this isn't Paul dealing with some unforgiven sin or self-reluctance to follow the Lord, but it is the internal wrestle of a godly man that doesn't want to fall short in any area and honestly says to himself, "There's a lot of places where I am falling short." Paul is not getting in touch with that, and he's not telling us that that should discourage us. He is doing quite the opposite, as a road sign, a green light pointing towards the gospel to show us of our need for a Savior. He's claiming, "I need it the most," and saying to all of us, when we feel the despair of that battle within that we all fight, it's a road sign to say, yes, he needed God more and more, and yes, we need God more and more. Too often, we hear about the goodness of the Lord and experience salvation by grace through faith. And then we walk in our own power and don't keep relying on the foundation of where our power actually comes from. As a child of the light, Paul didn't have to subject himself to the flesh any longer. He could walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's so much easier said than done, as he is showing all of us. He's saying it's a battle, a daily battle that he loses more than he actually wins. But this is Paul's concern for himself and us as he writes to the Romans. He wants to not let us lose that or lose ourselves and give up in that battle we all fight. And I ask you to consider, have you had that moment, just like Paul is saying now, maybe several times, maybe just once, that why do I keep doing these things that I know that I hate, that I shouldn't be doing? Has that fallen on you and you have felt the battle yourselves? Have you lived? Are you still living within that tension? That is the problem for us all. Sin clings to the flesh, this vessel that we journey this life throughout. I don't know. I joked with somebody about this the other day. I remember saying as an 18-year-old, "Well, I'll get my life cleaned up after college." And 21 will come, and then I'll be free from all the things I was doing. I'll be an adult finally, and I'll get that all cleaned up. Here it is 20 years later. And I find myself still trying to clean some of those things up. It's just a constant, why do I do these things that I hate? But as we've heard from Paul, we need to be slaves no more. We don't have to be slaves to it any longer. God is here to step in, has paid the price for all of us. And all we need to do is seek Him. And the Lord, that is what makes us holy. God is the one that does the work of changing our hearts and changing us as we grow into our relationship with Him. As Christians, we have all been delivered from Satan's grasp on us. And we get to say, I am no longer in love with the things of the world. I don't need to be a slave to sin any longer. But we do need to be weary. What Paul is telling us today, you are delivered from sin, free from sin, but be careful of the trap of deceit that sin can still ensnare you in, because that's what it does. Sin aims to destroy, to separate us from the very relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that gives us life and our true freedom. As believers, it should leave us unhappy when we fall short, but we don't have to get lost in the woulda, shoulda, coulda. God pays the price for us, and all we need to continue doing is to run to our relationship, run to Jesus constantly, and He will do the continue changing in our lives. But we have to know, as Paul is showing us, there is difficulty in this. Just because we say, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord, I want more of you, I need more of you, less of me. Paul's showing us where the difficulty comes from so that we may not have to live within that battle, the disparity that can come from it, but more that we live in the hope that is offered to all of us through God. God meets us right where we are, right in the messiness of the daily battle within. In my mind, I long for oldness, but as Paul keeps telling, I long for holiness, not oldness. But I remember what Paul keeps telling us through these chapters 6 through 8. The old is gone and the new identity has come. What great weapons we have at our disposal. We don't have the fight alone, for if we did, we would lose. But we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is where victory is found, is in our relationship with Jesus. And as I was putting the sermon together this week, I was like, what can I actually say that could be a clever drive this final fact home? And then I got lost in the last two versions, and I think Paul said it better than I ever could. This is what he says in the last two verses in closing. Paul anguished over the sin in his life, and he said, where will I find the victory? And who will deliver me from this body of death? And the final verse in chapter 7 says it all. Jesus does. I thank God that through Jesus, I am delivered from this battle. In the very next verse, verse 1 of chapter 8, which Joe's going to tell us about all next week, is what I really want us to hear today. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is that true freedom through our identity in Christ that we talk about. No longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Where are you today? Is this the first time that you're considering a relationship with Jesus? And if it is, this is what growing into maturity and the promises that we are all given as you grow into your relationship with Christ. Or have you been sitting there in this battle for several years, maybe feeling the ill effects of thinking, you know, mate, I thought I had lost my faith? Have you ever reached that point in your life? And Paul's here, I'm here to say, no, you have not lost it. You may be feeling the weight of the battle within, but the fact that you feel that longing and are questioning about it just shows you have the strength. You have the power at your disposal in your relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you've reached that point where you're, I don't care, that might be another story. But if you've ever been at that point, I think I've lost my faith. Remember Paul. Remember his earnest personal longing for all of us. Why do I do these things that I hate? The battle we will all fight. Some we will lose, some we will win. But we don't do it in our own strength. But we rejoice that the war has already been won for all of us through the death, life, and resurrection of Jesus. And in that, we find our freedom and the victory over sin. And thanks be to God for it. Amen. Amen.